Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another Dispatch. Today, we're just going to look briefly at the history of pornography. It'll be in four steps. So it'll be magazines, videos, low-speed internet, high-speed internet. For those of you wondering, no, the ABBA on my knuckles is not in reference to the band, Greek New Testament for God. I used to think that God was some kind of tyrannical being in the sky, and learning that he's a person and that he wants to be my father has gone a long way in renovating my soul. All right, so starting first with magazines, it's important to know that the porn industry uses a criteria when it comes to the development and distribution of pornography and the technology that presents pornography to us. That criteria is novelty potential and arousal potential. With novelty, it's like all humans need novelty. We're like addicted to novelty. It's the reason we scroll through Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and just binge through things. Like just the act of scrolling and seeing and consuming is its own kind of stimulant. And that's novelty. Arousal. Well, if you need me to explain that word to you, then you probably shouldn't be watching this video. So going back to magazines, so when it comes to magazines, think Playboy, something that you could subscribe to. It can be sent to your home. You could go to a local like grocery store and pick up a magazine. This really jump-started pornography here in the West. The issue with magazine is that its novelty potential was drastically limited because you could only get off to, well, it's a still image, right? So that's the first issue. But you could only get off to a still image so many times before it loses its luster. So magazines jump-started things, but it had a really strong cap. It wasn't until video started presenting pornography that real issues and addiction started to come out. So when it comes to videos, think Blockbuster. This all of a sudden took away the static, still image nature of magazines and created just this dynamic flow because all of a sudden you're watching a story with multiple scenes of sex. The issue here was that the arousal factor was limited because people would be aroused and then all of a sudden they'd have to go to like the store to Blockbuster to pick up something. They'd be self-conscious because people would see them. They'd have to go in the checkout line. They'd have to take it home and then they have to take it back. So the arousal factor was limited. And then again, the novelty factor could only go so far because you can only watch a series of scenes so many times before they become old. So enters low-speed internet. Low-speed internet allowed people to watch porn from the privacy of their homes without any prying eyes. So there's no like guilt or shame. And they could download a lot of porn. The issue is they didn't often know what they were downloading until it was downloaded. So viruses were in effect, which is wild to think that even when you're not interacting with another human being, if you're doing something sexually deviant, you still have to watch out for viruses. So people didn't know what they were downloading, and it would take forever to download. This was remedied with high-speed internet, and high-speed internet kind of brought in the era of tube sites. Think YouTube. So a lot of porn sites are oriented around tube siting, where you could just go and watch a lot of videos. There's like so much porn on tube sites that you could spend the rest of your life watching novel porn with no repeats, and like you wouldn't exhaust it. There'd be so much more left. So the novelty feature was kind of just fixed with these tube sites. Anybody can upload videos. The real catch was with the arousal potential. The arousal value of tube sites is, it's intentionally low. They make these videos only like 3 or 4 minutes in length, and they try and cap them around there because they know that people can't go from no arousal, zero, to finishing in a matter of 2 or 3 minutes. And so they intentionally keep them low because then you have to click another video. That's why a lot of people binge, because they're waiting for that video that they can get off to. And so they'll consequently spend hours watching it. A lot of people actually have like multiple videos running at once. I didn't know that until recently. And so this has gone a long way in, well, meeting the criteria of the porn industry when it comes to arousal and novelty. Sorry, I just got conscientious that I'm talking fast, but stay with me. I'm almost done. So all of this is crescendoed. The next step is VR, virtual reality, as well as like sex bots and those kinds of things. It'll continue to meet the demand of potential and arousal, which are the criteria that ends up getting people addicted to pornography. And most of the sexual disabilities that people have today are due to porn consumption. Even saw something recently about spouses needing to watch porn together to get off, or like a spouse watching porn, then running and then having intimacy with their spouse because they don't know how to get aroused without the stuff. So when it comes to ED or delayed ejaculation, like these are primary issues that people are facing. Also, some saw some stuff recently about like guys wearing VR sets while they're having sex. So they're not actually viewing their counterpart, their spouse. They're just using them. It's just like the epitome of dehumanizing. One woman went so far as to say that she just felt like she was a bag of flesh that her husband would masturbate into, which is ugly and gross language. But it's real language. It's her story and it's her experience due to these developments in pornography. And even the arousal novelty value. When it comes to novelty, like this is the stuff that like kids in particular are targeted with. And that's one of the reasons that the average age of porn viewership, like first viewership, is 9 years old, which is wildly low. I can't imagine having being exposed to that stuff at that age. So just like a whole slew of issues. Bring all this up because oftentimes to know how to move forward, you have to know how you got here. And this is a really good look at how we got here and where we're going, unless we start making some serious, well, personal decisions when it comes to intimacy and love and relationships and learning to humanize the people around us. Okay, thank you for sticking with me through that. I hope it was helpful. If you have any comments or thoughts, please leave them below. If you like the video, please hit the like button. Cool little life hack. If you don't just want to be sent whatever YouTube wants to send you, if you want to subvert that process and actually watch what you want to watch, hit the bell beside the like button and it'll just notify you anytime we come out with videos like this or interviews that we're doing with key cultural thinkers or people who have been in the industry. I love them. I enjoy doing them and I enjoy being with you guys. I really appreciate your comments because it helps us know which direction to go. So that's all I got, and we're looking forward to being with you guys next time.